Okay, today's daf is Pesachim Daf Yud Dalet. Today's shiur is sponsored by Elisha Graf once again, in honor of me. Thank Elisha for the sponsorship again. We are holding on Daf Yud Dalet Amar Alef. We got to the Mishnah yesterday, the top of Daf Yud Dalet Amar Alef. This begins the sugya of Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim, one of the more challenging sugyas in all of Shas. It takes us about 1 week, so you got to hang in there for a whole week to get through Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim and hopefully understand it as well. It's the primary sugya in Shas that deals with Tum and Tarim. We don't have a Masechta in Talmud Bavli that deals with Tum and Tara, but we have these seven Dapim that deal with many, many of the issues of Tum and Tara, the backbone of much of what Shas has to say about Tum and Tara. The Mishnah is going to tell us in the name of Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim that it's mutter to burn two pieces of kachim together, even though one of them is becoming more tame by being exposed to the other one. And the majority of Amud Aleph is going to be spent figuring out how the first example that the Mishnah gives is actually makes the item more tame. It actually involves a case where one is becoming more tame by being in contact with the other one. Then Rabbi Kiva adds in the Mishnah that they would light oil that had become tame from a tevul yom in a ner that had become tame from a tame mace, and the Gemara is going to discuss what that adds beyond the first case in the Mishnah, and that's pretty much what Amud Beis is about. And the Daf is going to conclude with Rava deriving something about Rabbi Akiva's understanding about the ability of a liquid to be metame other things based on the presentation of Rabbi Akiva's case. So let's get to the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim Omer, Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim said, Mimeim shel Kohanim, in the days of the Kohanim, when the Beis HaMikdash was around, lo nimnu mi lisrof es habasar shenitma bivlad hatuma, im habasar shenitma ba'av hatuma. They would not refrain from burning together two pieces of meat, one of which had become tame from a vlad hatuma, and the other one that had become tame from an av hatuma. Vlad hatuma, just let's work with the terminology over here. Av hatuma usually means the source of the tuma, the original tuma. Vlad hatuma means something that had become tame from the av hatuma. Now we're familiar in Hilchos Tuma with the idea of a rishon l'tuma, a sheni l'tuma, a shlishi l'tuma when you have truma, a revi b'kodesh. So there are multiple levels of vlad hatuma. But the first level of Vlad is a Rishon. There's Av, the Mace is the strongest level of Tumah. Mace itself is an Avi Avos. An Av HaTumah would be a Sheretz, or something that touches, or someone that touches a Mace would be an Av HaTumah as well. So you have Av HaTumah, but then a Vlad HaTumah starts Rishon on down is all Vlad HaTumah. So if they would have something that had become Tumah from a Vlad HaTumah, they would not refrain from putting that together with something that had become Tumah from an Av HaTumah and bring them together. Problem is, when you have kachim, you have to keep it tahar. So if the kachim became tame, they have to burn it. So it's going to have to be destroyed. Both of these pieces of meat have to be destroyed. But the question is, can they be destroyed together? Because you're not supposed to be metame kachim. So what Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim essentially is teaching us is that once it's tame, making it more tame is not really such an issue. When they're burning it, it's granted the piece that has a lower level of tumah is going to become more tame, but that's not such a big deal that it becomes more tame. They're burning it anyway. Even though they are adding tuma to the already existing tuma. So here's a discussion we've shown. What in the world is this Mishnah doing over here? We're learning Maseches Pesachim. What does this have to do with Pesach? So toward the end of the Mishnah, we do have an application to Pesach. We're going to have a sheet of Rabbi Meir that says, oh, so we see from here, when you're burning truma on Erev Pesach, that you're allowed to burn truma Tahora together with Truma Tameya, because since it all has to be burnt anyway, we're not worried about the fact that you're being Metame the Truma Tahora. So that's why it's here in Maseches Pesachim, says Rashi, because we're going to apply this din by Kachim to this din of Tum and Tahora by Kachim to a din by burning Truma that's Chametz. That's what it's doing here according to Rashi. The Rambam in the Perush of Mishnayos says no, it's here for a different reason. We just got through the three Shitos in Tanayim about when is the last time you can eat chametz on Erev Pesach. And we went through the simen that they would have by the Harabayis of the Shtei Chalus Psulos that they would have on the Itztava, which would demonstrate to people when is still Zman Achila, when is the Zman where you can no longer eat but you don't have to burn, and when is the Zman that you're allowed to burn. Now those Shtei Chalus Psulos were Chalus that were part of a Karban Todah, that were Kachim, that had to be burnt, because there was the Zman was up and it and they had to be destroyed as well. Once we're talking about burning kachim in the end of that Mishnah, so we go right into Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim, who also talks about burning kachim. It just happens to be that we're able to connect it in the Mishnah to burning chametz, to burning truma of chametz toward the end of the Mishnah. But it's not really about that. The reason that this Mishnah is brought here is because of its connection to the chalas of Toda. So the kasha, of course, is what was wrong with Rashi's explanation? Rashi's explanation seems much more direct. Instead of connecting it to something that's a completely parenthetical point about the chalos of the Toda, and that's why we have this whole discussion, the whole next seven blot of Gemara, by the way, all based on this discussion. Why not just say like Rashi said? Because we have a halacha about chametz right here in the Mishnah itself. So the Achronim deal with this. The Tzlach explains, because the fact that Rav Meir in our Mishnah is going to say midivreim lamanu shesorfen truma tahora ima tameya bepesach, that only works if you assume like Rabbi Yehuda that ain bir chametz al sreifa, that the application to learn from burning kachim together to burning truma tahora in tameya only is going to make sense if you hold that the only way to destroy chametz is by burning chametz. So, but if you hold that there are other ways to destroy chametz, then you can't learn anything from Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim. Meaning, it could be that in Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim's case, they were dealing with burning kachim. You had to burn it. There was no other way to get rid of it. And once you're burning it, so we don't want to waste the eitzim of kachim, the wood of kachim, make a second fire. So they would burn it in the same fire and he's making it in that case. But who says when it comes to destroying chametz, where you don't need to make a fire at all, if you hold not like Rabbi Yehuda, you hold you could throw it into the wind. So throw it separately into the wind. Why do you have to throw it all together into the wind? Why do you have to who is matir to burn it all together and to put these items together? So the whole comparison to chametz only works alibid Rabbi Yehuda. If that's the case, says the Tzlach, yes, it belongs in Maseches Pesachim because Rabbi Yehuda is in Maseches Pesachim, but not here. Rabbi Yehuda's Iker Din of Ein Bir Chametz El Sreif is a second parak discussion. That's a discussion in the second parak of Pesachim. So this Mishnah and this whole sugya should have been in the second parak, is the Rambam's real taina, and that's why the Rambam says it's placed by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi in the first parak, not because of the Din of Chametz that we're going to learn, but because of its connection to the Lach Metoda. That is how the Tzlach explains the Shitas HaRambam. The Yerushalmi over here asks Kasha and Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim. He says, what's the chiddush that you're allowed to be sorev basar that's nitma bevlada tuma together with basar that's nitma ba'ava tuma? The Gemara is going to have in tomorrow's daf a machlokas beisham beisilel about pigul nosar and tame. Let's say you have kachim that was that's pigul. You bring a carbon, and at the time that you're shechting the carbon, you're having a machshava to eat it beyond the designated time. That makes the carbon pigul. Or nosar, the meat of the carbon shlamim, let's say, is left over beyond the 2 days that you're allowed to eat it. So now you have this leftover meat. It all needs to be destroyed. It all needs to be burnt. And tameh, you have kachin that's tameh. So there's a discussion, Beisham Beisila, are you allowed to burn all of those things together? Or do they each need a separate fire? Beishamay holds, ain't sorfen osam ka'achas, you cannot burn them all at one time. They each need to be burnt separately. Beisila says, you burn them all together at one time. So Beisila's matir to burn pigul and nosar. Pigul and nosar are not tameh. They are kachim and they are tahar together in the same fire with tameh, with something that's actually tameh. So if that's the case, that you're allowed to burn something that's tahar together with something that's tameh, isn't it obvious that you're allowed to burn something that's a lower level of tumah together with something that's a higher level of tumah? That's Yerushalmi's kasha. If we hold like Beis Hillel anyway, so what's Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim adding beyond what the Beis Hillel already taught us, that you're even allowed to burn tahar together with tumah? Of course you can be allowed to burn tumah together with tumah. So Yerushalmi says, yeah, in a chinami, Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim is telling me a chiddush within Beis Shammai. But within Beis Hillel, this is not a chiddush at all. That's, Pnei Yeshua says, that's very troubling. We have seven blot of Gemara, all because of Beis Shammai. All because of something we don't pass on like the Beis Shammai. Besides, what's more troubling, that's okay. We could learn seven blot according to Beis Shammai. That's still Talmud Torah. That wouldn't bother us so much. But what bothers us, Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim Omer Miyameyim Shel Kohanim. He was being made on what they did. Why did they paskin like Beis Shammai? Meaning, according to Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim, he's telling us something about the practice in the Beis HaMikdash. Beis Shammai's opinion should have no relevance to the practice, to what they actually did in the Beis HaMikdash. So Pnei Yeshua has several approaches to dealing with the Yerushalmi's Kasha, and he says that maybe Beis Hillel was matir to burn pigul, noser, and tameh together. He's talking about a case where there's no mashke together with the basar, where the basar is just food and food. It's ochel and ochel. And Beis Hillel allowed burning it together because on a daraisa level, food can't be metame other food. Where B'chanias Gan Aquanim is telling you, and the Gemara will make the sukimta, is that it's not just that you're taking something that's on a lower level of tumah, food that's on a lower level of tumah, burning it with food that's on a higher level of tumah, but there's a mashke there as well. The meat that's on the higher level of tumah also has a lot of liquid with it, and liquid can be metame other food on a daraisa level. So B'chanias Gan Aquanim is adding that not only in a case where the food is only metame the other food on a derabanan level, where it's just food and food, but even where there's liquid involved, or it's going to be able to be metame on a daraisa level, even then you're allowed to do it. But I saw what I thought was a phenomenal answer in the Masifta from the Sefer Meshiv Nefesh. He's miyashid the kasha of the Yerushalmi differently. The Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Nun Vavam Bei says if a person is mekadesh an isha with arla or kilei akerim, what are arla and kilei akerim have in common? They're both isurei hana. You're not allowed to get any hana from it. So a guy decides instead of buying a ring, he's going to take his kilei akerim, he's going to take grapes that are growing right near his wheat, and he's going to go be mekadesh an isha with it. Harei mekadeshes. So ain't a mekadeshes. Mishnah says she is not mekadeshes. It doesn't work. So Tosa says, why does the Mishnah only say Orla and Kilei Akerim? There are lots of Yisurei Hana. Why doesn't the Mishnah say a guy's Mekadesh Nisha with Pigul, with Nosar, with Tameh, with all of these things that are Kachim-related Yisurei Hana, that she's Eidah Mekadeshes? So Tosa says, yeah, because the Mishnah's not talking about Kachim. In Ochinami, there are plenty of Kachim-related Yisurei Hana, Pigul, Nosar, Tameh, it's not talking about Kachim. So I asked the Marsha, okay, why doesn't Tosfos give a better answer? Tosfos should say that Pigul, Nosar, Tameh are Kodesh, and the fact that they're Kodesh, it means that it's already covered in an earlier Mishnah. The Mishnah in Daf Nun Beis and Beis of Maseches Kiddushin says that if a person Mekadesh Bechelko, if he takes his portion of a carbon and is Mekadesh Anisha with it, it's Eina Mekadeshes. So you can't be Mekadesh with Kachim. Why didn't Tosfos give that answer? Pigul, Nosar, Tameh, they're all Kachim, so that's why you can't be Mekadesh. So now he puts it all together. He says that the Marsha answers, the reason Tosfos didn't give that answer is because Tosfos must hold that Pigul, Nosar, and Tameh lose the shame Kodesh. It's not just that they're Kodesh, but you can't use them. When something's piggle, when something's left over beyond its man, when something is Kodesh, it becomes Tameh, it's no longer Kodesh. It loses the shame Kodesh. And therefore, it's not going to be included in the earlier Mishnah of a Mekadesh Bechelko, a guy being Mekadesh with his Chelek of a carbon, which is still perfectly viable, that it's Eina Mekodesh. That's because it's Kachim. Over here, it's not Kachim anymore. It's Tami Sureyana. So if that's the case, maybe the fact that Beis Hillel allows burning Pigul, Nosar, and Tameh together is because it already lost its shame Kedusha. And that's why you're allowed to be Metameh. What's the Isser of being Metameh something? There's no Isser of being Metameh. I want to be Metameh this table. I could be Metameh this table. Oh, it belongs to a shul, so it's Kodesh. No, but it's still, you're allowed to be Metameh this table. There's nothing wrong with being Metameh. I mean, it's not nice, but there's no Isser in being Metameh things. There's an Isser in being Metameh Kodesh. What does Beis Hillel teach us in tomorrow's daf? Pigul, Nosar, Tameh, you can burn all together. Don't worry about the fact that the Tameh is being Metameh, the Pigul, and the Nosar. You know why you don't have to worry about the fact that the Tameh is being Metameh, the Pigul, and the Nosar? Because the Pigul and the Nosar is not Kodesh anymore. It loses its shame Kedusha. But Rabbi Chanina Sagan Aquanim is telling us that if you have Basar Shnitma Bavatum that's together with Basar Shnitma Bavlatatum, you're allowed to burn them together. That's even though they still retain their status of Kedusha. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Chanina Sagan Aquanim beyond what Beis Hillel already taught. Okay, so anyways, that's the first halach in the Mishnah. You have two types of basar, one with a lower level of tumah, one with a higher level of tumah. The Gemara will get into the details of what we mean by lower level and higher level. And even though the one with the lower level is becoming more tameh by its exposure to the higher level of tumah, don't worry about it. You're allowed to burn it together. That's Rabbi Chanina Sagan Aquanim. Hosef Rabbi Akiva, Vo'amar, Rabbi Akiva added, and he said, Miyameim shel Kohanim, lo nimnu milahadlik es ha-shemen, shenifsal b'tvul yom, b'ner shenitma b'tamei meis. That not only that, they would also not refrain from using oil that had become pasul from a tvul yom. The halach is, if a person was tamei person who had already gone to the mikvah from his tumah and he completed his entire tahara process, but he remains a sheni l'tumah until nightfall. That's a tvul yom. He already went to the mikvah. His tumah is pretty much over. He just has to wait till nightfall. Until nightfall, though, he's a sheni l'tumah. That's a tvul yom. So a sheni, if as a tvul yom he touches shemen, the shemen becomes a shlishi, right? So if let's say they had shemen that had become pasul from a tvul yom, that shemen that was a shlishi, they would allow that shemen to be used in a candle, in a ner. When we say ner, we don't mean like a wax candle. A ner means the receptacle, the kli that held the oil, in the metal kli that would hold the oil, in a ner that became tame from a tame mace. Now, how tame is a tame mace? A mace is an avi avos hatama. A tame mace is someone who came in contact with the mace, is an av hatama. So a ner that became tame from a tame mace, l'chora, should be a Rishon Lutuma. So what he's saying is they would use oil that's a shlishi in a kli that's a Rishon. What would then happen to the oil? It would be upgraded or downgraded from a shlishi Lutuma to a sheni Lutuma. It becomes more tame than it was previously. Afalpi shemosif in Tuma al Tuma so. Even though they're adding Tuma beyond the Tuma that it already had. So this is the addition Rabbi Akiva has. It seems to be very similar to Rabbi Chanina Sagan Aquanim said, that when you have two things that are tame, you can expose them to each other, even though the lower level tumah is going to now be on a higher level, you're going to be mosif tumah al tumah, so that's okay. What goes unsaid, the Gemara is going to discuss a lot about what Rabbi Akiva added beyond Rabbi Chanina Sagan Aquanim and what the details of the case are. What the Gemara does not discuss is why that's okay. Meaning, let's say tumas kohanim, the only tumah that we're, there are two types of tumah that we're familiar with. There's tumas kohanim, we know, that we have to be careful about, and there's tumas nida. But by nida, it's not even tumas nida that we're careful about, it's the iser nida. So we have very little familiarity on a day-to-day basis with dinim of tumah and tahara. But let's take tumas kohanim, for instance. A kohen is not allowed to become tameh to a mace, right? So if a kohen, let's say, is already a tameh mace, he forgot to wear his plastic bag on the airplane or something, he's already tameh to a dead body. So now is he allowed to go and be metameh himself to another dead body? No, the halacha is, according to, he's not allowed to be mosif tumah al tumah so, because the first tumah is an old tumah. It's a tumah that he's that now, granted, it's still there without para aduma, it's going to be there forever, but it's an old tumah. So he's not allowed to be mosif tumah al tumah so. So why by kachim he's allowed to be mosif tumah al tumah so? So the achronim explain based on the formulation the Rambam has when he describes the Isra of being metame kachim. The Rambam in the 18th parak of Psulei HaMikdashin writes, Asu letame as hakachim, olis savev lohem tuma, sheharei poslan. You're not allowed to be metame kachim. Why? Because when you're metame kachim, you make them pasul. They used to be perfectly viable, and now they're not viable. So the whole Isra of being metame kachim is taking it from a state of viability to making it inviable. That's the whole idea of tumas kachim. Unlike tumas kohanim. By tumas kohanim, it's not like, oh, the kohen was perfectly good before, now you've ruined him. That's not the issue of tumas kohanim. Tumas kohanim is that the kohen, as a function of his kedusha, is not allowed to have, the way the Rav Shaftan quotes from Rav Elchanan, Rav Chaim Eisen, and many others, is not allowed to have his skarvus lemeis. He can't have a shaychus with a mace because of his kedusha. So granted, he already came in contact with a mace some time ago, but he's not allowed to come in contact with the mace again because that's a violation of his skarvus lemace. He cannot have that connection to a mace. If that's the way you're magdir tumas kohanim, that has a lot of ramifications. Rav Shaftan points out that would l'chora be one of the responses to Rabbi Goren's heter. Rav Goren had a heter for Kohanim to go to medical school, where using another concept we're going to have later in the daf called cheref hareu kecholo, that the halacha is if a metal kli touches a mace, so the mace is an avi avos hatumah, a metal kli that touches the mace is also an avi avos hatumah. So Rav Goren said, no problem, a kohen is allowed to become tummy to that metal kli though, he's just not allowed to become tummy to the mace. So Rav Goren said, no problem, let the kohen take a metal kli that touched a mace, put it in his pocket, So he's already touching an Avi Avos HaTumah the whole time. And then he'll go to medical school, he can touch a dead body because he's not adding any Tumah by touching the dead body. He already has the Avi Avos HaTumah in his pocket. So he's already, it's Kilu, he's carrying a Mutter dead body in his pocket. So he's allowed to touch another dead body, so it shouldn't be a problem. So no, but if the whole Isser is Hiskarvus Lameis, so the metal Kli doesn't give him any Hiskarvus Lameis. That's why it's Mutter, because there's no mace. It's just a pen, it's a pocket knife. So there's no mace. But now he's going to be dissecting that body. That's a mace. So that's if you magdir the Isser in that way, the whole heter doesn't get off the ground. There are other reasons why the heter doesn't get off the ground, but that's one of the reasons. So anyway, so says the Mishnah now, Amar Rabbi Meir, mi devreim lamanu shasarf in Shumat Torah imat meya bepesach. So Rabbi Meir says, so we see from Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohanim and from Rabbi Akiva that when it comes to Erev Pesach and you need to burn your chametz and you have truma, that's chametz, you're allowed to burn truma tahora together with truma tmeya, even though normally you're not allowed to be metame truma tahora. But once it's being burnt anyway, just like the kachim, normally you're not allowed to be metame kachim, but just like the kachim, when it's being burnt anyway, you're allowed to be metame it in the process of burning it. So if you're also, you're allowed to be metame this truma in the process of burning it. So Rabbi Yossi, so the Gemara in Tamar's daf is going to have five possibilities of what he means by midvrehem lamanu, that we learn from there. How exactly do we see it from there? Where exactly is the midvrehem? But okay, Rabbi Yossi, eina hi amida. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not a good limud. Now, what's not a good limud? We first have to translate the midvrehem to know what the problem is with the limud, but again, that's tomorrow's sugya. Umodim Reb Lozer Reb Yeshua, shesarf in zuli atzma v'zula atzma. Reb Lozer and Reb Yeshua both say that if you have truma tmeya and truma tahora, it's best to burn them both separately. You burn the truma tmeya, that's chametz, in one fire, truma tahora in a different fire. Alma nechleku, where's the machlokas really? Ala tluya v'ala tmeya. What if you have truma that's a suffek? You're not sure if it's tamei or it's tahor. So, and you have truma that's tamei. Can you burn those together? Sherebi Eliezer Omer tisarif zuli atzma v'zuli atzma. Reb Lozer says even that you should burn separately. On the chance that the truma tluya is really tahor, you don't want to put it together with truma tmeya, so burn it separately. Rabbi Yeshua Mershtein Kachas. Rabbi Yeshua says, nah, anyway, you're burning them both, and one of them, the truma tluya might be tamei anyhow, so you're not even doing anything. So you might as well, you could burn them both together, Rabbi Yeshua holds. Again, we'll get to Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua on what the whole end of the mission is about, not in today's daf, but in tomorrow's daf and the next daf. So says the Gemara, let's go back to our discussion from the beginning of the Mishnah. Michti, what was Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKohanim talking about? He said you have two pieces of meat that are both Kodesh. One of them became Tameh from an Avatumah, the other one from a Vladatumah, and you can burn them together. So Basa Shnitma B'Vladatumah Mayhavi. What's the level of Tumah that meat that became Tameh from a Vladatumah has? So we said a Vladatumah is normally a Rishon. So Basa that becomes Tameh from a Vladatumah is Sheni. It's a Sheni L'Tumah. Now, basa that became tame from an av hatuma is what? If you have av hatuma is an av, so it's metame basa. The basa now becomes a rishon. Good? So you have two pieces of meat, a rishon and a sheni. And Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKohanim is telling me, it's okay, you could burn the rishon and the sheni together. Ask the Gemara, wait a second. When you burn the Rishon and the Sheni together, let's say the Sheni were perfectly tahor. What would happen to the Sheni, to this perfectly tahor piece of meat if it touched a Rishon? It would become a Sheni. But this piece of meat is a Sheni anyway. So you have a Rishon and a Sheni, so it's touching the Rishon. It's not getting any more Tame than it was before when it touches the Rishon. It was already a Sheni. And the most you can become by touching a Rishon is a Sheni. So what's it going to be? It's going to be a Sheni. Sheni v'Sheni hu. My Mosul Tumah Tumah Soika. It's a Sheni that you're making into a Sheni. What kind of adding Tumah is going on over here? Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKohanim has this big Kiddush. Don't worry about the Tumah that you're adding. You're not adding any Tumah. Some review the hacha bivlad vlada skinan. Remember, I said before, vlada tumah is just a generic expression for anything rishon and down. It doesn't only mean a rishon tumah. So the Gemara says, when he said something that became tummy with the vlada tumah, he didn't mean something that became tummy from a rishon. He meant something that had become tummy from a sheni. So what is it? You have a piece of meat that is a rishon and a piece of meat that is a shlishi, and those two you're allowed to burn together. Tavile shlishi, that piece of meat that became tummy from a vladatum had become tummy from a sheni and is therefore itself a shlishi. The kasavar shlishi mutalas also sheni, and that's what Bichlinis Gan HaKohanim's Chiddush. That even though by exposing the shlishi to the rishon, the shlishi now becomes a sheni. That's okay. You're allowed to burn them together. Frak the Gemara, Vayin Ochel Matame Ochel. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, it's still not such a great chiddush, because it happens to be, the halacha is, that food cannot be Matame other food. The laws of Tumah do not allow for Tumah to be transmitted from one food to another food. So really what's happening when you're burning the Rishon piece of meat with the Shlishi piece of meat is nothing. It's not that the Shlishi is becoming Sheni. Shlishi is becoming nothing. Food can't be Metame other food. Tanya, Yachli Yeochel Metame Ochel. One might have thought, you might have had a Hava Amina, that Ochel could be Metame other Ochel. Tamalomar V'chiyite Mayim Alzera V'nafal Minivlasavim Alav Tamehu. Who tamei ve'inos akiyotzei bo tamei? When the pasuk describes food becoming tamei, it says tamei who? The food itself is tamei, and from there we learn yes, but that food cannot turn around and be metamei other food. Food can't be metame food. So the Gemara says, what's going on over here? Rabbi Chanina Sganukranim has this great chiddush for us, that you could be mosif tumah al tumah. So you have two pieces of meat, one's a rishon, one's a shlishi, and you can make the shlishi, you could expose the shlishi to the rishon, thereby raising it to a sheni, but you're not raising it to anything, because it's food and food. Food can't be metame other food. So Gemara has three approaches to answer this question. Number one, it says, Hanich la baye. If you assume like abaye, we have a simple answer, because abaye holds damar lo shanu ala b'chulin. This rule that food cannot be metame other food is only by chulin food. By truma food, by kachim food, food can be metame other food. And Rabbi Chanina Sganukranim is talking about kachim. And even if you don't assume like Abaye that by both truma and kachim food could be metame other food, but as long as you assume at least like Ravad Bar Ahava, that at least for kachim, even if not for truma, at least for kachim, food could be metame other food, well then Rabbi Chanina Sganukranim is fine. Then we understand this chiddush very well, because he's dealing with kachim. So if you hold that this rule doesn't apply to kachim, whether you hold like Abaye that it doesn't apply to kachim or truma, or you hold like Ravad Barava that it just doesn't apply to kachim, but you hold that this rule doesn't apply to kachim, you hold that kachim food can be metame other food, well then Rabbi Chanina Sganukranim is fine. So that's answer number one. Elo the Ravina Mishmeid the Rava Damer Mikra Mali Dibar Akasav Loshna Chulun Loshna Chuma Loshna Kachim Eino Sekiotzi Bo Maikla Meimar. But the problem is going to be, what if you hold like Ravina, who says that this rule that food cannot be metami other food is an ironclad rule, that it always applies by Truma, by Kachim, by Chulun, by everything, food cannot be metami other food? So then we're back to our question. What is Rabbi Chanina Sganukranim teaching me, that the you could take the Rishon and the Shlishi and burn them together? Of course you could burn them together. The Rishon is food, the Shlishi is food, so the Rishon can't have any effect on the Shlishi. So answers the Gemara, answer number two, Hachav Mayaskinan Dika Mashkin Bahade Basar. We referred to this before, that the case over here must be that it's not just food, that there is some liquid together with the Basar. The Kamatamya Machmas Mashkin. And therefore, the Rishon food has a lot of juice on it. That juice is also a Rishon, and that juice is touching the Shlishi. Mashke could be metame of food. So that's certainly having an effect on the Shlishi and raising it to a Sheni, and that's Rabbi Chanina Sganukranim's Chiddush. Frankly, Gemara, if that's the case, Ihachi, Hai im habasar shenitma ba'av hatuma, im habasar umashkin mi ba'ilei. Well, then he buried the lead, right? He told the story how they used to be soreif a Shlishi with food that's a Rishon. You know what he should have said? They used to burn a Shlishi with food and drink that's a Rishon, and the key is the drink, because the food doesn't really matter. It's only the drink, it's only the liquid that's able to be metame. So that's what leads us to a third answer, which we'll get to in a second. This line, though, is critical. This idea that the Gemara suggests, that as long as there's mashke on the meat, it's able to be metame the other food, causes a whole ruckus in the Rishonim. Tosos raises a whole issue over here with three different approaches as to how that works exactly. Normally, for halachos of tumah, there are certain minimum shiurim that are normally required. So, for instance, for food to become tame, you need a shiur kibetza. For food to machlokes Rishonim, whether to become tame or only to be metame other things, but for tumas ochlin, on some level, it needs to be a kibetza. What about for tumas mashkin? Does a mashke need to be a revius of mashke in order to be metame other things? So the Riva says, it's clear in this Gemara that you don't need a revius of mashke to be metame other things. Why? We're talking about a meat that has some juice on it, a piece of meat that has some juice on it. That, how much juice do we have? Well, we know it's a small enough amount of juice that the Mishnah didn't even bother mentioning it. And yet, that juice is going to be metame, the other piece of meat. It's got to be less than a revius, right? It has to be less than a revius of juice. So says the Riva, you see from here, Tosus quotes in the name of the Riva, you see from our sugya that that a mashka, pachos mi revius, is able to be metame other things. The Rabbeinu David adds that the truth is we see it from a Gemara in Brachas, and Daf Yud Beis as well. The Gemara in Brachas says that according to Beis Shammai, you have to do netilas yadayim for a su'udah before you make kiddush, because if you don't do that, you have to worry that maybe some of the liquid that spills on the outside of the kos is going to become tame from your hands, and is therefore going to become a rishon l'tuma, and that liquid will then be metame the kos, and make the kos a sheni l'tuma, so that's why you need to do netilas yadayim before you make kiddush. Well, how much liquid is on the outside of your kos? It's got to be less than a revius of liquid, and yet we're still assuming that that liquid is going to be able to be metame the kos. So that's another Raya, like the Shita Sariva, that that you don't need a revius in order to be metame, in order to be metame food. That doesn't, liquid does not need to be a revius in order to be metame. The Kazmisha thinks that that's the Rambam Shita as well. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Tumas Ochlin, Perek Dalid, Hamashkin Mistamin Kol Shehein Umetamin Bekol Shehein Afilu Tipas Mashkim Temeim Kechardel Shenago Ba'ochlin Abekelim Mashkim Achir Nitmu'u. He goes on and on to say how it's even a kolshu, even a tiny little drop. So you see, the Rambam holds like the Shita Sariva. It happens to be, Tosfos goes through over here, the Ri, the Rabbeinu Tam, disagree. They don't think that that's true, that it's always the case, or some, maybe even ever the case, that less than a revius can be metame other things. But this Gemara seems to be a pretty strong riot to the Shita Sariva. Okay, so anyway, so back to the Gemara now. So the Gemara was dealing with this question: how is it that the Rishon Lutuma, the piece of meat that's a Rishon L'tumah, is being metame the piece of meat that's a Shlishi L'tumah, if after all food cannot be metame other food? So approach number one we had was that kachem is different, food can be metame other food. Approach number two we had is that it's not the food that's being metame the other food, it's the juices with the Rishon that's being metame the other food. Now approach number three, Ella nihide enochel metame ochel midal raisa mitrabonan miu metame. So the approach number three is, you're right, on a daraisa level it's not metame the other food. It's all midrabanan. It's only a din midrabanan that the Rishon is able to be metame the Shlishi, because on a daraisa level food absolutely cannot be metame other food. Okay. The a side point to men, well, actually we'll get to it later. So it says the Gemara further. Now let's see the other case of the next case. So Rabbi Akiva heard Rabbi Chanina's Kanakwanim. He said, "Oh yeah, I got one better for you. You know what they used to do? They used to take shemen that had become tummy from a tevil yom. Which, remember, what did we say? A tevil yom is a sheni. So what's the shemen when it becomes tummy from a tevil yom? It's a shlishi. And they used to use that in a ner that had become tummy from a tummy mace, right? So what's the ner that had become tummy from a tummy mace? Tummy mace is an avatama, and the ner would therefore be a rishon. So what's his big chiddush? They would take shemen of a shlishi and expose it to a rishon l'tumah. That's what Rabbi Akiva adds. So Hosef Rabbi Akiva, mimein shel kladim lo nimnu milahadlik, michti, shemen shenifsal b'tvul yom mayhavi. This oil that became tummy from a tvul yom, what is it? Shlishi, it's a shlishi l'tumah. V'chi madlik le b'ner shenitma b'tami meis mayhavi. And when it's lit in a candle that was in the kli that had become tummy from a tummy meis, what does it then become? Sheni, it becomes a sheni. Well, my kamash malan, shlishi mutu l'asos v'sheni. So what's Rabbi Akiva's big chiddush? That you could take a shlishi, expose it to a rishon, thereby raising that shlishi to a sheni? Hainuhach. We already got that from Michanin Sagan Aquanim. Meaning at first when we read Rabbi Chanina's Sagan Aquanim, we thought Rabbi Chanina's Sagan Aquanim was telling us I could take a piece of meat that's a rishon and a piece of meat that's a sheni and burn them together. But we said that made no sense, because of course you're allowed to do that. You're not doing anything to the sheni when you do that. So we retranslated Rabbi Chanina's Sagan Aquanim to say that I'm taking a piece of meat that's a rishon and a piece of meat that's a shlishi, and I'm putting those together. Good. Now once Rabbi Chanina's Sagan Aquanim is telling me that it's a rishon and shlishi you're putting together, well, then what's Rabbi Akiva adding? Rabbi Akiva also says, I'm taking a Rishon and Shlishi and putting them together. Hainu hach, it's mamish the same thing. He's not telling me anything that I didn't already know before. Now, the Rishonim raised the question, well, wait a second. If you go with the third approach that we just said before, that in Rabbi Chanina's Gaon HaKohanim, that the two pieces of meat, one is being metame the other, it's only on a Derabbanan level that one is being metame the other. So maybe that's Rabbi Akiva's Chiddush. That Rabbi Chanina's Gaon HaKohanim taught me that you can take a Rishon and a Shlishi, where the Rishon is going to have a Derabbanan effect on the Shlishi, and don't worry about that Derabbanan effect, you can burn them together. Rabbi Akiva says, you could take Shemen and put it in a Kli. That's Doraisa that you're dealing with. And don't worry about that effect either. That even the Doraisa effect you don't have to worry about. So that's the Kasha that the Rishonim ask. And several Rishonim say, yeah, you know, Chinami, this Kasha on Rabbi Akiva is only according to the first two approaches we said before, not according to the third approach. According to the third approach, it's not an issue. Of course we understand Rabbi Akiva's Chiddush, that we're dealing on the Doraisa level over here, not just on the Darabanan level. But anyway, so the Gemara says, Hainuhach. So this is, it seems to be that it's the same... that it's the same chiddush. So Rabbi Yehuda hacha b'nershal nateches askinan. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we missed a point in Rabbi Akiva over here. The point of Rabbi Akiva was that you have a ner, you have this kli that became tameh from a tameh mace, but this kli itself is metal. Who cares that it's metal? Because once it's metal, the Rachmana Amar, the Chalal Cherev, Cherev Harehu Kechalol. There is a rule in Tum and Tara, one of the fundamental rules of Cherev Harehu Kechalol. One of the cardinal rules of Tum and Tara, one of the basic rules of Tum and Tara is that when something is metame something else, it goes down a level. An Avi Avos is metame something, that something is an Av. The Av is metame something, that's a Rishon. Rishon is metame something, it's a Sheni, to a Shlishi, to a Ravi. Right? It always goes down a level of Tumah. There's an exception. Cherev Harehu Kechalol. When you have a metal utensil, a sword, let's say, that kills a person, so it's touching a dead body. The dead body is an aviavos. The sword is also an aviavos hatumah. This is part of the discussion at the beginning of Baba Kama, is toldosein kayotze behen. Things that are toldos of an av, things that come from an original source, do we say that the toldos are just like the av? So cherev harehu kechalol is almost exactly like the mace. It has the same level of tumah aviavos. It's not quite 100% like the mace, though, in that if that piece of metal touches another piece of metal, that second piece of metal does not become a cherev harehu kechalol, does not become an aviavos. Whereas the mace touches another piece of metal, it will become an aviavos. So it's not quite a mace, but it's pretty close. It's an aviavos hatumah. So says the Gemara, when Rabbi Kiva said you could take this shemen, that's a shlishi, and light a candle, put it in a candle in a kli that had touched a tame mace, that had touched an avatuma, we're talking about a metal kli that had touched an avatuma. When a metal kli touches an avatuma, it becomes an avatuma, not a rishon tuma, because it goes across, doesn't go down a level of tuma. So now, what's Rabbi Kiva teaching me? They could expose a shlishi not just to a rishon, where you're raising it now from a shlishi to a sheni. You could expose a shlishi to an avatuma. So that shlishi, that shema that used to be a shlishi, is now becoming a rishon. You're raising it two levels of tuma. That's Rabbi Kiva's additional chiddush. Vavile avatuma. The candle itself is an avatuma. The kasavar shlishi mutla sosa rishon. And what he's telling me is that you could take that shlishi and turn it into a rishon. Now, there's a lot of discussion in Rishonim about cherev harehu kechalol, both in terms of how it works, when it works, what are the gedarim of cherev harehu kechalol, as well as how similar is it literally to a dead body. We already pointed out one difference, that it can't make another cherev harehu kechalol. But what are the, for instance, cherev harehu kechalol, if you're in the same ohel as a cherev harehu kechalol, but you never touched it, do you become tame as an avatuma? Or is it, when you're in the same ohel as a mace, you're in the same room as a mace, you become an avatuma. When you're in the same ohel as a cherev harehu kechalol, do you become an avatuma, or is it only if you touch the cherev harehu kechalol? So that's machlokas rishonim. There's machlokas rishonim. Can cherev harehu kechalol be metame b'masa? How do I know that a mace can be metame b'masa? We learn it out from a kal v'chomer from Nevela, that a mace could be metame b'masa. That if Nevela can be metame b'masa, so for sure a mace could be metame b'masa. So the Rambam and the Meiri hold that a cherev cannot be metame b'masa because you don't have that kal v'chomer from Nevela, because someone who touches a Nevela is not metame b'masa. So a cherev harei cholol, the only reason I know a mace could be metame b'masa is from a kal v'chomer from Nevela, but the cherev harei cholol is something that touched a mace. Something that touches a Nevela can't be metame b'masa, something that touched a mace shouldn't be able to be metame. It's a limit on the kal v'chomer. So a whole bunch of discussions about what the limitations of cherev harehu kechalol are. There is a group of rishonim that hold that cherev harehu kechalol a significant group, only applies to metal. That it's dafka metal utensils, and that's what the Gemara implies over here strongly when it says, no, no, we're dealing with a ner that's mateches! Sounds like that was a game changer, that it's mateches. Other Rishonim say, no, it's not only metal, it's any kli that's not a kli cheres. Kli cheres, you can't say a cher v'rekol, but if it's made out of any other material other than cheres, you can say cher v'rekol. So when it said it's mateches, the point was not that it's mateches, the point is that it's not what a candle is normally made out of. It's not cheres, which is typically, if you go through the shuk in Yerushalayim, you see they sell these little candles, these ancient candles, so they're all cheres. So that's the chiddush, that it's not cheres. There is a minority shita in Gaonim, and some Rishonim, that it only applies to a kli that was used to kill somebody. That if it wasn't a murder weapon, then you wouldn't apply cher v'rekol. So you'd have to figure out how to kill somebody with a little candle holder to make that work in our Gemara. But okay, so that's a minority shita in Rishonim as well. So says Gemara now, my doche, third line from the top, my doche Rabbi Yehuda Lukmei b'ner shel mateches. Why do you have to say that Rabbi Akiva was talking about a metal candle? Lukmei b'ner shel cheres. Let him say we're talking about a cheres. Umay hosif. And what is Rabbi Akiva adding that Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim didn't already tell me? Diluhasam tamei v'tamei, viluhacha pasul v'tamei. Maybe this is what he was adding. By kachim, the lowest level of tumah you could ever have by kachim is a revi'i tumah. That's as far as it goes. The chain stops there. If a revi'i tumah, kachim, that's a revi'i, touches something else, nothing happens to that something else. By truma, the lowest level you could have is a shlishi. So shemen of truma, once it's a shlishi, it cannot be metame anything else. It can't do anything to anything else. By chulin, the lowest level you go down is a sheni. Maybe what Rabbi Kiva was adding was the following. When you have two pieces of meat that are kachim, a rishon and a shlishi, the shlishi is already so tame that it could still impact other things. So what are you doing? You're turning it into a sheni? You haven't really done anything to it. It was already able to impact other things, and now you made it a little more tame, but it was even beforehand, it was so tame that it was able to impact other things. What Rabbi Akiva is adding is, if you have shemen of truma, that's a shlishi, well, it's already at the end of its line. It's not tame, it's pasul, but it's not tame enough to impact anything else. So Rabbi Akiva is saying, even that, you're allowed to turn into a sheni. And once you turn it into a sheni, you're really making it bad, because now, not only is it bad, it could be mitame other things. It can impact other things. So maybe that's Rabbi Akiva's chiddush, asks the Gemara. So Amar Rava, masnisin kashise. So Rava says, no, he had to say that it was talking about a metal kli, and that's the great chiddush of Rabbi Akiva, because mayir yidatani ner shenitma betame meis, nisni shenitma besheret. Why would we give an example? Why would Rabbi Akiva give an example of a ner that became tame from a tame meis? If he wants to give an example of a ner that's a rishon, let him give an example of a ner that became tame from a sheret. And that would also be a rishon. A sheret is navatama, so it became tame from a sheret. It would also be a rishon. Why does he have to dafka give an example of a ner that became tame from a tame meis? It must be that there's something about Rabbi Akiva's case that's unique to a meis, that's about a meis. What is unique about the tumah of a meis? Cherev harei chalal. That's what led him down that path. What's the difference between tumas meis and sheretz? Haveyomer zemateches. That's metal, because we have the din of cherev harei chalal. Amar Rava, Shema minak pesav Rabbi Kiva, tumas mashkin l'tame achirim d'oraisa. And so we do see from here that Rabbi Kiva holds that the ability of a liquid to be metame other things is a din d'oraisa. How do I know that? Because if you hold the ability of a liquid to be metame other things is only drabanan, michti, hai ner, maika mahanya, lahai shemen. What exactly did this ner do to this shemen? In what way did the ner make the shemen any worse? Ilif sule gufe, hapasul vakai. If all the ner did to the shemen was it made it bad, it pasled the shemen, it made the shemen tame in its own right, well, the shemen was already tame. Remember, it was a shlishi l'tumah beforehand, so it didn't have any effect on it. So it must be that what happened, that what did the ner do to the shemen? It gave the shemen the ability to be metame other things. So you see that Rabbi Akiva, meaning by raising it from a shlishi to a sheni, now this, or from a shlishi to a rishon, now this shemen has the ability to be metame other things. So you see that Rabbi Akiva holds a liquid's ability to be metame other things is a din d'oraisa. Mimai, dilma l'tamei achir midrabanan. How do you know that it's a din d'oraisa? Maybe its ability to be metame other things is only drabanan, and that's what Rabbi Akiva is saying, that you're allowed to put that shemen in that ner, even though it's increasing the potency of the tumah of the shemen on a drabana level. That means drabana, the shemen now has the ability to be metame other things. Well, says the Gemara, imi drabana mayiri ba'ava tumah afilu brishon v'sheminami tchila havi. Well, if we're dealing with a drabana, well then the halacha by on a drabana level is that even if it were even if it had become tame with the rishon, or even if it had become tame with the sheni, it would become a rishon l'tumah. That's the uniqueness of tumas mashkin midrabana. As I said before, on a daraisa level, whenever tumah transmits from one thing to another, it always goes down a level, with the one exception of charev harei chalo. Midrabanan, the rabbanan sometimes reverse the trend. They would sometimes take something that's on a lower level of tumah, and when it's mitami something else, that something else becomes a higher level of tumah. They did that by tumas mashkin. That by tumas mashkin, it would have the ability to be mitami to become a rishon. Remember, I gave the example in brachos before. A guy didn't do netilas yadayim. So his yadayim are sheni l'tumah. I said, what's the concern? He's going to touch the liquid on the outside of his cup. So what? It's not kachim, it's not truma. What's going to happen? No, but the rabbanon were misakin, that liquid that becomes tameh from a sheni becomes a rishon. So that liquid is going to become a rishon. So if it's drabanan, then Rabbi Kiva wouldn't have needed to come up with a case where the shemen is touching an av hatumah. Just come up with a case where the shemen touches any kind of tumah, and the shemen automatically would be a rishon l'tumah. So it must be that Rabbi Kiva is dealing with d'oraisa dinim over here. D'tnan kol apostolos truma mitami mashkin lios tchila. Anything that can possibly truma, meaning anything that's a sheni or stronger, will be able to turn liquid into a rishon l'tumah. Chutz mi tful yom, with the one exception of a tful yom. A tful yom is a sheni, cannot turn liquid into a rishon, but every other sheni and above can turn liquid into a rishon l'tumah. Ela shema mina d'oraisi. So it must be that Rabbi Akiva is dealing with some sort of din d'oraisa over here, and that's the raya that Rabbi Akiva holds, that mashkin have the ability to be metame on a d'oraisa level. Okay, we'll pick up and see that tomorrow.